This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. Splash Refresher spices up my daily water intake by putting fun and hydration in one. Because as a mom, I already have my hands full. Every Splash Refresher flavor is delicious, bright, flavorful, and zero calories. I don't waste time on flavorless water I don't enjoy. I just drink Splash and I like it.
My favorite flavor is the lemon. It really does taste like lemonade.
My favorite is the mandarin orange flavor.
There's a flavor for everyone to enjoy.
Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Hello and welcome to Childproof by Betches Media. I'm Gwenna Lathland.
And I'm Tori Phantom. This episode is dedicated to every parent who is kind of confused about who they are besides someone's mom.
And to all the folks who absolutely found themselves through parenting someone else.
Today, we are going to talk about losing yourself to parenthood, because I think that's a pretty universal experience.
And so is finding yourself again, even if it feels like that's never going to happen. First, we got to start the timer. Okay, so this came up because we both have a mutual friend who has reached the magical point of parenthood that they've got like a millisecond of brain power available to think of something other than their kids not dying.
Right, right. Not constantly just thinking about potty training, snacks, diaper bags.
Yeah. Their kids have gotten old enough that they have a chance to meet themselves again. So they've been taking themselves on dates. They've been trying new things. And like, I'm watching some of these trying new things. I'm like, who the hell are you?
Right. Like, I love this for you, but also what?
Why are you doing? You're going to jump out of a what? To where?
Okay. I didn't know this part of you, and I'm excited to meet her.
Right. Did you know this part of you?
I love it. We love to see it.
I'm never going to do it, but I'm glad you're doing it. I love this for you.
I will watch the video. I will watch the video, and my gut is still going to drop to my toes, even though I'm not the one doing it. Scary.
I love watching people get there because I distinctly remember the moment I got there. And you know what I did the moment I got there?
What?
I started a TikTok.
Well, you had to have gotten there twice because you were like, You had a full preteen and you were like, let me hit the restart button.
I would have gotten there twice, but I, trauma alert, there was nothing to lose the first time around. I had no idea who I was when I became a parent.
That's valid.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, so I, when I began to find myself after Abby got less needy, after Abby established some level of independence, that was not finding myself again. That was meeting myself for the first time.
No, that's valid. I feel kind of similarly because, you know, I was a teen mom, right? And it's less relevant as a 31-year-old, but it's still very much a part of my identity and my experience. So I've had folks ask me throughout my life, like, you know, do you wish you would have waited longer? You know, did it kind of suck to not have the early 20s experience, whatever? Like, no, it it's fine. I didn't have any expectation of that. And, you know, in a lot of ways, I say, like, my kid saved my life, and not in a way of like, she's responsible, but in a way of like, I started to take care of myself when I found out about her, and it made me reevaluate the way I was existing in the world and what I wanted to do. And I started to take care of myself for the first time because, you know, I had a bad childhood. And so I was not a year out of my childhood home when I got pregnant, and things were still pretty sticky. So it's like there wasn't like I was a fully established adult. You suddenly had this massive change. I was a kid. I was a traumatized kid who suddenly had a kid. And so I kind of grew up and grew to figure out who I was through my 20s while also being a parent. Yeah. And at 31, I feel like I'm finally like figuring myself out, which is really nice. And but there wasn't like a before time. Like I had this really established life. Like I worked the night shift at Taco Bell. You know,
that was the extent.
That was who I was.
I was legally able to vote for like 3 months before I became a parent. So, you know,
yeah,
I was not. I was 22 when I got pregnant and I had her when I was 23. So I had some college, I had some adulthood, but what I do want to say is if you come from the opposite side of the fence of Tori in that you did have a 20s, you did have a life and a persona and an identity that was not so-and-so's mom before you became a mom or a dad or a parent. It's okay to mourn your old life.
Yes.
Or in my case, it's okay to mourn the potential that life had. Again, I was 22 when I got knocked up. I was 23 when she was born. I did have just like a taste of adulthood. Mm-hmm. And even that was sort of metered because it was through the lens of college.
Right.
And if you've gone to college and then joined the world after that, they're different beasts, right? It's a different flavor of experience. And I absolutely sometimes wonder what would have happened if I hadn't had a kid right then. That is not to be confused with regretting having the kid.
Right. It's just the toying with the what ifs. I think everyone does it. And it's not in a negative way, like just how would my life be different?
Right.
Like, that's okay to think about.
It is no different than what would I do if I won the lottery? Like every time the lottery gets into the 7 or 8 digit range, we're all like, if I won the lottery, I'd pay off the mortgage. It's no different.
I have to say, I've never considered that because.
Really?
Yeah, I just assume I'd lose.
Tori had a really fucked up childhood.
Historically, just, you know, Murphy's Law over here.
But it's the same difference. It's just questions. It's not longing. It's not desire. It's just, if I'd been 24 instead of 23, how would things have shaped up? Well, this thing specifically would not have been able to happen. Like, it's just a comparison.
It's just reflection. It's reflection. Yeah. Yeah.
It's okay to mourn your old life because the minute you introduced a child, no matter how you procured it, whether you grew it with your body, whether your partner grew it with theirs, whether you adopted or through some Hallmark movie plot inherited a long lost relative you didn't know exist.
Yeah.
However you came into parenthood, it is okay to look back at who you were, what you could do, and what opportunities could have been if this hadn't been what you selected, or in some cases, what was selected for you. It's okay to think about those things.
Yeah. I mean, I remember being pregnant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole different story, right?
Yeah. Like,
the base detail of context that I will provide in this moment is that I was 18 years old and I ended up moving to a different state. And sleeping on an air mattress in a big closet for a while. You know,
which, you know, pregnant and not just pregnant, but pregnant with hyperemesis.
Yes. Yeah.
If you don't know what hyperemesis is, that's a lot of throwing up
for just the whole pregnancy. Not fun. But it was like I had these moments where I was like, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
And not in a way of like hating it, but like, am I going to be capable of giving this child a good life when I'm like not able to handle my own right now?
Yeah. That feeling doesn't necessarily fade when you're not pregnant.
Right. But I figured it out. So, you know, we're good now, but I remember distinctly those feelings then wasn't this idea of like mourning who I was before, but very much concerned with where I was at because I knew, even though it wasn't like a transformation from who I was into who I was going to be, it was very much a, oh shit, I'm a grown-up now. Oh, I'm gonna have a human. I'm a teenager.
Well, and that sort of feeling of losing yourself, it can kind of start. We always assume it starts, you know, once the baby's born. But really, it can start way before that. I mean, for me, there was a period of time where I dealt with something called secondary infertility, which means for 4 years, even though having had no problems getting pregnant previously, having carried to term a full healthy baby, myself not having any issues from that pregnancy, when I tried to get pregnant a second time, it wouldn't happen. It took me 4 years. And then my body did a going out of business sale and gave me a 2-for-1. But I very much lost myself to the infertility roller coaster. Like, It becomes an all-encompassing thing where I don't have hobbies. I have a sex calendar. I'm out here telling like strangers on the internet about the quality and consistency of my vaginal goo, like unprompted. Like that was my entire identity for a brief period. And if you knew me in that time of my life, I am sorry. And I understand why you don't talk to me anymore.
I'm sorry, but do you want updates?
Look, it worked. I'm not going to tell you about my mucus anymore.
Unless you want to know. But no, I mean, it is. And there's so many different ways that we end up losing ourselves. Because even if I didn't have like this prior existence as an adult, right?
Right.
There was this transition of really letting go of my youth that did happen, mm-hmm. right? Because it was suddenly like I was going to be a parent, and I took that very seriously from the beginning. And so mm-hmm. it was kind of trying to learn what that meant and how to exist in that space. But also that starting to feel like I was losing myself was when my body started to change. You know, I at the time, because I got pregnant when I was 18, I had her when I was 19. But so when my body started to change, this wasn't just my body anymore.
Yeah.
And that like threw me through a loop because mm-hmm. I was so already in that teenage awkward existence yeah. in your own skin. And then suddenly things are changing and, you know, vag goo. So like...
Right. You may not have ever been aware of your own, but now
right,
you are.
Right. There was so much to learn about the weird new fluids that were happening in various places. So
we're going to get a parental advisory slapped on this episode. I swear to God. Spent entirely too much time talking about bodily secretions.
It's parenthood, you know?
Right.
Goes from yours to theirs.
No one's freaked out.
Yeah. It's just part of it. The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to stow away those jackets and sweaters and break out the shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year.
Okay, yes, it's time to put away the sweaters unless you married a polar bear. I definitely married a polar bear, and he keeps this house at a number I don't want to say because it's too low. My saving grace is that I get to wear the softest cotton sweater. It's so cozy and it's bulky and I love it and I get to use it all year round.
Quince sweaters are so good. Quince has amazing items like premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Quince cuts out the middleman by partnering directly with top factories and passes that savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/childproof for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/childproof to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
One last time, quince.com/childproof.
Did you know that summer is so close?
I've been trying desperately not to think about it.
And our kids are going to be home from sunup to sundown for several months. I love them so much. I love spending time with them. I have so many exciting things planned. But we're also going to have a lot of downtime. We need things to do for the rainy day that are going to keep them engaged and help them to be creative. And I found the solution. KiwiCo.
Oh, it's raining and gross outside? Cool. Would you like to dig up dinosaurs or build a windmill? Those are the Kiwi kits we have.
KiwiCo encourages kids to get outside, explore, and stay off their screens. Awesome projects from the summer adventure series like the Bottle Rocket Kit, where kids build an actual bottle rocket, help to turn outdoors into a playground of learning and fun. We've made the bottle rocket, and it was incredibly fun.
You'll be surprised at how high quality the materials are, too. These are real engineering, science, and art projects for children. As a parent, it can be hard to find creative ways to keep your children busy and challenged. KiwiCo does the legwork for you so you can spend quality time tackling projects together.
Build the best summer ever with KiwiCo. Get 20% off on your summer adventure series at KiwiCo.com with promo code ChildproofSummer. That's 20% off your summer adventure at KiwiCo.com. Promo code Childproof Summer.
Once more, KiwiCo.com, promo code Childproof Summer. Especially in these times, in the modern era, I think that losing yourself to parenthood is a part of how we perceive and treat pregnant people. Like when you are a pregnant person, everyone is fawning over you and ooing and awing, and you're looked after, even if no one's actually caring for you, even if you suffer a distinct lack of support because the people that should be supporting you are pieces of shit or unavailable, or through various circumstances, you are too separated by time and distance from them for them to be able to really be there. Even if you lack support, you're at least viewed as a prego. So strangers might offer you their seat at a bus stop, or, you know, a kind person will bend down and pick something up because your giant, you know, balloon of a belly won't let you pivot like that anymore without you falling over. Like there is some level of care and support and, oh, you are precious, you are important. And then you squeeze that baby out or you have it ripped out of your abdomen and you cease to be.
Yes.
Now you are the wet nurse and the chauffeur and the carrier of that child. But now it's, oh, how's the baby?
Right.
I'm fine. Thanks. The baby's right there. It's a sentient meatloaf. It doesn't really do anything.
It's kind of cute, but I'm tired. I'm with you. when you're pregnant, it is a different thing. And like, even without support from a close support system like family, people recognize that. And most people are kind of, I remember in a place I used to live in New York, their science center, they had special parking near the handicap parking for new and expecting mothers. Mm-hmm. So they just had a little bit closer to the entrance. And I remember that feeling so nice.
Yes.
But then you have the baby and suddenly you're thrown into this place where doing a simple task like going to the grocery store feels like, do I actually want to do this right now? Is it too close? Is it too close to nap time? Is the diaper bag packed? Where's the car seat? What's the weather like? Do I have to get a jacket? What kind of jacket? Oh, it's snowing out. I can't put them in the puffer coat though. So I'm going to have to get these blankets. But then when I get them out, I'm going to have to put them in the coat. Maybe I'll just wait a few more days before I go. And it can be so isolating where now suddenly what used to just be you grab your keys and go, you're now sitting there going,
Do I have the energy to do everything that is required of me?
Is it worth it?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's like grocery shopping and suddenly it might not be worth it. Especially if you're running on 2 hours of sleep and you're like, I got chicken nuggets in the freezer. I'll just eat those for dinner. And it can be so isolating. And I think that isolation that we experience really adds to this idea of like losing ourselves because it's not just you anymore. Well,
And in the earliest days of it, when you do have this big pile of shit that you have to take with you just to leave the house, just for a brief period, just because you need a half gallon of milk. Like, I think now, for various reasons, it's even worse because it feels like when you're in that space as a new parent or a new-ish parent and that you've just added a new one to the crop of womb fruit you're producing, it feels like the public is just begging to hate you for having dared brought an infant into a public space.
Right. Because they don't hate you. And you know that.
They don't hate you.
But if your baby or toddler or young child is suddenly screaming, throwing a fit, having a meltdown, you know people are going to be judgmental. Now, there are kind people out there who will give you that solidarity look of support. But there's people who are like mad that you dared to exist with a child in the world.
Right. You are not welcome here with your offspring. And sometimes it's completely made up. Sometimes it's all in your own head. Not a single person within earshot of that mewling infant is mad at you. We all understand. But it doesn't feel like that in the moment. It feels like the world hates you because you are disturbing us with your presence. How very dare you?
Yeah. And I think social media fed into that a lot because you do see videos of people complaining about the crying baby on the plane.
About the crying babies. And they are the smallest portion of the population. They're just magnified. Their voices are because of the internet.
And then when you see that and you have a new baby, maybe a colicky baby, and all you want to do is just go out and get a cup of coffee and feel like you're a person who exists in the world again. And you're like, but what if the baby starts crying?
Right. Are people going to think that I'm a bad parent because my baby is crying? Mm-hmm. Like my 2-year-old is being disrespectful. No, they're being two. And yes, you understand that. And I understand that. But I don't know that that random person at the cafe mm-hmm. understands that. And I feel like they are judging me. And I feel less than because of my perception of being judged. It is such a mind fuck.
Oh, yeah.
In those yeah. early.
Well, and it's wild, too, because it even in like kid places, parents mm-hmm. have this anxiety. Like I had my kid at a doctor's appointment and it was a pediatric office mm-hmm. and we were in the waiting room and there was this other mom there and she had, I want to say that baby was probably 3 and mm-hmm. that kid was so stinking cute, full of energy, just a little ball of energy running around. And like my kid that I had with me was like talking to her and she's my shy kid. So it was like kind of cool because like this kid yeah. was just such a bright light that it just like, you know, just like moth to a light. And she was just, you know, climbing on the step. This doctor's office had step that they could actually climb on, you know,
yeah.
it wasn't.
Yeah.
And this kid kept coming up and like looking at me and I'd say hi to her, whatever. And the mom was like, oh, I'm sorry. And I'm like, don't you dare apologize to me about that. Like she said hi to me. That just made my morning. She's so cute. But it's like this feeling like even amongst other parents where sometimes we're just like, I'm sorry that my kid is being a kid right yeah. now. And like, why do we do that? Mm-hmm. Why do we do that?
I don't know. I don't know because I feel the exact same way. My kids will be acting out in public and I'm like, oh my God. And for like, I even doubled down on my own reasons. I am a goddamn parenting influencer. You guys have got to stop acting like you're 5.
Oh my God.
Like, do you not understand what you're doing? They don't have to care.
Have
and
to.
I know full yeah. well, because if I were to watch someone else with 5-year-old twins fight a losing battle and just fine, get the conversation hearts if you'll stop acting like that. Like they give in. Like, you know, yeah. in the moment that you're doing it, this is a mistake. This is yeah. not going to resolve anything, but it is going to stop them acting out in public. If I were to watch a parent do that, I'd be like,
mood. You,
That Relatable. Battle was lost, but the war is not done. Yeah. Like, I understand how yeah. you got there. You're okay. I am fully capable of being empathetic to literally anyone else's situation, but then I look at my own situation and go, nope, I suck.
Just being a human. It's okay for everyone but me.
But me. I have to be perfect. And you guys being 5... does in fact show that you're comfortable with, you know, having an emotion. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. But could you have it a little quieter? You have a quiet emotion today?
No, but it, I mean, that's I think part of it too, is because when our kids are so little, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is this feeling of not only because when you're in that fog, those first 6 months where you aren't sleeping and you are literally just yeah. feeding. And if you're chest feeding, like you are literally just,
you're
you feel like a cow.
Yeah.
You just, yeah. you know, when you get the pump out and you're like, this feels more like a cow. You're like, I've been to a dairy farm. This feels familiar. And so when that is your whole life is literally just waiting for the next moment, you might get to sleep for a minute. And when you set that baby down, when they're asleep and you put them in their crib and it's that slow-mo back away. I'm like, don't wake up. And your life revolves around changing diapers and mm-hmm. feeding and trying to sleep and just, am I ever going to be a person again? Yes.
Yes, yep. You will be.
You will be. It doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel real. I don't say that to like minimize if you are in that right now while listening yeah. to us. That
it feels like it's going to be this way forever.
And it's, in that moment, it's like those moments the first time your kid sleeps through the night and then you immediately run into their room and wake them up because are you breathing? You've never slept for more than an hour at a time. What is happening?
Right. Are you sick?
Sorry, I woke you up. My bad.
Well, and it turns out that babies are people who really suck at being people.
Yeah.
Like the young of our species, I say lovingly and kindly, the young of our species are born fucking useless. Like,
yeah,
they're cute and they're squishy and they give you dopamine for like 32 seconds, but they can't move. They can't feed. They can't hunt. They can't not piss themselves
yeah.
for being an apex predator. Our infants are useless. They're just sentient meatloafs.
But they are awfully cute.
They are cute.
They have that going for them.
That and the fact that their cries are literally like designed by nature to trigger our brains to protect them.
And like you're in the shower by yourself for the first time phantom and you cries. Just the phantom cries and you're like, I have to get out of the shower. They're just like asleep and you're like,
you son of a bitch. Like you're mad at the kid for not having made a sound. Now you're out of the shower and wet and kind of soapy.
And you're just kind of like, man, I should have dried off a little, I guess. No, it's
like for a brief second, you're like, I'm going to poke it just to make it make a noise. So I'm out of the shower for a good recap.
I can't say I ever thought that because I would just be like, I would look at the sleeping baby and be like, please stay that way for at least 5 more minutes.
No, it was an intrusive thought for me every time. Like it would, you know, when you're driving along, you just, what if I crank it real hard to the left?
Oh,
I
know
what's going to happen. I'm going to die. And I'm not going to do that.
I'm not going to do that. Yeah. I think so. You go for that, right? And then the baby starts to move. And now they're rolling. And you're like, oh, cool. They rolled over, right? And then they get really good at rolling. And then you're like, oh, baby gates, baby gates. And then they're crawling. And you're like, where's my outlet covers? I have to childproof things. I said the name of the show. Did you hear that? That was pretty cool. Anyway. You get to that point and suddenly it is even more taxing because maybe you're sleeping a little more, but you need that sleep to keep up with that thing.
Right. They move so fast. They can't even run and they're so quick.
They're so fast. And if only we could wake up with half the energy they go to bed with.
Yeah.
Like it's impossible. So suddenly you are now in the throes of this moving child who is now going to start walking. And they're walking. Yeah. They could get places. They have no sense of self-preservation.
None whatsoever.
You are the self-preservation. And it is all-encompassing. It is so difficult. Yeah. And then, you know, even in those moments, like, okay, the kid is getting a little older. They're sleeping a little better. They're on the move. Is it time to be me again? And then you, like, go to a family function. And you realize you still can't participate with the grownups because now you are chasing around a toddler. And their house is not child-proofed. I did it again.
Is this every time we say the word childproofing, we have to celebrate that it's the title of our show?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. As long as I understand the guidelines here, I can work within these parameters. It's fine. Spring has sprung, and that means it's time for spring cleaning. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase.
Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. So you can make sure you're shopping smarter, not harder, no matter what you're purchasing.
The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of a spring wardrobe refresh, new warm weather bedding, or a flight for that summer getaway.
Other apps give you points that don't amount to much. With Ibotta, just add your offers in the app, upload your receipt, and get real cash that you can cash out to your bank account, PayPal, or gift cards.
Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers, including all of your favorite grocery stores, Lowe's, Macy's, Sephora, Best Buy, and more. Right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 just for trying Ibotta by using the code CHILDPROOF when you register.
Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use code CHILDPROOF. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use code CHILDPROOF.
By the time baby number two comes, you feel superhuman. You totally have it all figured out. You got this. But then the reality sets in. It's more than twice the work and can sometimes feel like absolute chaos. It's obviously not always going to go right, but you'll take any opportunity to make it a little easier. The Honest Company has a new line of calming products for the whole family, so your little ones will go down easier and you can have a moment of honest relaxation. The Calm Collection is a line of dreamy and calming lavender products to help make you and your baby's bedtime routine smoother. They have lavender wipes to clean up sticky hands and messes, a Calm lavender bath and body set that's both gentle enough for babies and soothing self-care for moms, lightweight lavender body oil to help wind down before bedtime, and fun purple printed pajamas made with 100% certified organic cotton. The sooner your little ones go to bed, the sooner you are able to relax. For a little while, anyway. Their Calm Lavender Collection is made with lavender essential oils that help calm babies before bed, and their super absorbent overnight diapers have up to 12 hours of leak protection. With a focus on sustainability and clean products, The Honest Company works with toxicologists at their in-house lab to create eco-friendly, safe, and effective products you can feel good using. Body products are naturally derived and designed for all skin types, while their diapers are made with plant-based materials that are ultra-soft and super absorbent. Good for your whole family and your environment. Try Honest for yourself. Shop at Target, Amazon, Walmart, and honest.com. I joke, funny, haha, all the time, that the first year is about survival. Thriving can come later. And I joke, it like, but like also for real though, depending on what sort of network you have, how much support you can tap, how much in the way of resources you started with. Yeah, the first year is about survival. And some of us are going to like, some of us are going glamping for the first year. And some of us are like apocalyptic Mad Max level shit survival.
Some of us are like, I have to invent fire.
Right. Like there's difference, but the hardest thing a person's ever experienced is in fact the hardest thing they've ever experienced. Mm-hmm. So it feels, whether you're going glamping with, you know, someone who comes in to clean your house and someone's making you food and you have a loving, caring, present partner, or if you're single momming it in a roach motel, the experience is going to feel to each individual the same. Is it the same experience? No,
not at all.
You're still fucking exhausted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing too, I think that both of us can kind of reflect back on, is like being a single mom, mm-hmm. not making ends meet with mm-hmm. a baby, mm-hmm. struggling to keep your head afloat. I think for a year of my eldest kid's life, I lived on bagels mm-hmm. because I could buy a pack of bagels and like, okay, that's dinner for the week. Like the job I worked at had a stocked snack fridge. So it was like yogurt in granola for lunch.
It's been 12 years since the I don't want to say lowest point, because it wasn't a low point, the hardest point. It's been 12 years since that point. And I, to this day, cannot eat canned tuna. And I only recently got like normal tuna back, like filet tuna, like you might get at a restaurant.
Yeah.
I just got that back, because that whole period of my child being two, mm-hmm. let's just sink that in. That is a whole thing in and of itself. My child was two. I was going through a divorce. I was doing a whole lot of recovery, and I still did not know who the fuck I was.
Yeah. Yeah. This is relatable. It's, yeah. I mean, I had just turned 21, was going through a divorce. My kid wasn't two yet. And I dropped out of college a second time in that moment. Yeah. And I was like, I'd worked at Taco Bell. That's my work experience. Where can I get a job? And it was a cable call center. And you know, that's it. It was a very, very hard time in my life. And I had no sense of identity. My existence revolved around giving her a better life than I had at any mm-hmm. cost. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, those experiences, they stick with you. I mean, the other day I made breakfast for dinner and I was scrambling a bunch of eggs. And it was like this moment of memory of how many nights that's what I ended up making for my toddler mm-hmm. because I could afford eggs.
Yes. Yeah. I had a very similar experience. I put bacon in a pan and I was scrambling up some eggs because I was just making breakfast for breakfast. But I was scrambling up some eggs.
I was making breakfast for breakfast.
I looked at the amount of eggs and I went, I'm pretty hungry. And I know the kids have been begging. I'm going to add one more egg. And as I'm cracking this egg, the weirdest sensation was, man, 10 years ago, I wouldn't have done this because I wouldn't have been able to afford the egg. Because if I used this egg today to actually fill bellies, we wouldn't have any egg for tomorrow.
Right.
So we'd have really, really empty bellies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I had an existential crisis about egg. Right.
And it's such a nice thing to be able to be like, man, I've made it a long way.
Well, and here's the thing is that is, that can be an absolutely universal experience. You may not have a moment with eggs. You may not have a moment because your struggle was not based on financial instability, which Tori and I both experienced. Actually, weirdly, around the same time. We were doing it at the same time. We're just different ages.
Yeah.
But there will come a moment where all of a sudden you have clarity of, oh, I was not able to do this. There was a moment that I realized, oh, my kids have achieved a certain level of independence that I didn't notice. When I went into the bathroom, I pulled my pants down, I sat down on the throne, And in that entire time, I did not yell a single child's name. I'll be right there, honey. Mommy just needs to potty. Like, I went through all of those steps without having to explain myself.
That is incredible. Like, congratulations. It's like, for me, I had a moment, I think it was like a year ago, where I got to eat my dinner hot.
Ooh.
You know, that's what I mean. My kid was like 4 last year. So it was like around that time where I was like, I don't have to just like keep doing things and redirecting and still do. I got to eat my dinner hot. And I was like, what?
I still remember the day I got to eat my entire dinner. I didn't have to share it with anyone.
Or like to be able to eat for the first time without also trying not to get crumbs on the baby. But like, you're definitely going to get crumbs on the baby.
You just lick it off the head.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's like a cloth napkin, but it's a human.
You know what? They're bald. It makes it really easy. If it's saucy, it just comes right up. It's fine. They were inside me. My tongue is the least of our concern here. Is it unhealthy to lose yourself to the first year or two or three or four of parenthood? Do you think that's an unhealthy thing?
I think it's necessary. And I think that like saying or two or three or four is actually important.
Yeah.
Because depending on the privileges we have, the support systems we have, the access we have, that is going to happen at different times where suddenly we feel like a little bit of ourselves or we find ourselves. And you know, like, and there's so many different factors. I mean, for example, like I have a medically complex kid. And when I was pregnant with her, I was back in school for the third time. And I was like, I'm going to get my degree. And, you know, then she's going to be born. I'll wait until she's X amount old. And then I'm going to go and I'm going to start my career. You know, I was like 23, 24. But then she was born with a rare genetic syndrome. And no, I didn't go back to work. She needed me. It wasn't like daycare really wasn't an option. And so that took, I think, a bit longer too for me to kind of feel like a person again, because her needs were so much more significant that I think it's an important thing that we talk about, because we all talk about the sacrifices we make as parents. And that is like this expected, celebrated thing. Like that's what parents do. However, I think it's also important that we include the other side of that. And that is the consequences on our personhood from those sacrifices.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean the sacrifices aren't worth it or that we don't want to make those sacrifices.
But we do need to acknowledge them.
Yes, we are people too. And we still matter as ourselves and as their parents. Like those things are intrinsically connected, but they're also separate.
Now, I do this. This is the point where we have to say the important things. If you are in that first year
or two,
or up to 2 years, if you are in that first year or two and nothing feels right, everything is wrong, you can't stop worrying, not just worrying, all of us worry, but like you can't leave your child's room or go more than a few feet from your child's room, because what if they stop breathing?
Yeah.
If you cannot function in any way, shape, or form like you used to. Maybe you have to do it tired. That's normal. Maybe you have to do it at half capacity. That's normal. Maybe you can't go as hard. But if you are missing literally everything, you don't feel anything except worry or dread or existential crisis, you may be looking at postpartum depression, at postpartum anxiety, at postpartum rage, at postpartum manias. There's a laundry list of them. If you feel like maybe this is weird, like maybe I didn't expect to feel this bad all the time, I need you to reach out to whoever your care provider is. If it's your general practitioner, your therapist.
It is so important. Even your obstetrician, they're gonna help you. You deserve help. You don't deserve to feel that way. And while it can be normal to have new anxieties and to, you know, experience, and especially with hormone changes, it can kind of exacerbate these things. But if you are having no relief, if you are just really struggling, you don't have to feel that way. And there is help, and it doesn't make you a bad parent.
Yeah. You deserve the help. You are worth accepting the help.
Yeah.
You don't have to stay in this space. It is not a permanent state of existence. If you are hearing us talk about, you will find yourself, it will get better. And you're thinking, no, it can't. Bestie, that is, I need you to think that is at least a pink flag.
Yes.
And I want you to reach out to talk to someone.
Yes. And that is a thing that, like, I'll say is personally on my own journey, right? Childhood trauma, teen mom, all that stuff. I think a big piece of me finding myself was really dedicating myself to therapy. Mm-hmm. And pieces, I've had these moments, these pieces in time where I've been like, I wish I had done this sooner. Mm-hmm. And I really started going to therapy regularly when I was like 27, 28. And I couldn't have done it sooner. The circumstances of my life up until that point were not in a way for me to do that. Mm-hmm. But if you have access, like don't pass it up because you feel like there's a stigma.
If you were waiting for someone to look you in the face and go, you need to reach out for help now. You don't need to be like, this is it.
This is it.
This is it.
We love you.
You need to go call your doctor, call your mom, call someone safe in your life. And go, I don't think everything's okay.
It can be okay again. And you really can be. You deserve to feel okay. But that's our soapbox about that. Mental health is important. You are important. Make sure you're taking care of yourself. Part of finding yourself might be treating your mental health.
Yes.
It's a good thing. Hydrating doesn't have to be boring. Splash Refresher spices it up by putting fun and hydration in one. Because as a mom, I already have my hands full. Splash Refreshers are delicious, bright, flavorful, and available in 5 craveable flavors. It has 0 sugar, 0 calories, and a splash of sweetness for a hydrating and delicious beverage you'll come back to again and again.
My favorite flavor is the lemon. It really does taste like lemonade, so I'm getting hydrated, and it just feels like I'm drinking lemonade.
Splash Refresher perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with 0 sugar and 0 calories.
Available in 5 craveable flavors, wild berry, acai grape, pineapple mango, lemon, and mandarin orange, Splash Refresher is there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. There's a flavor for everyone to enjoy.
They are delicious, bright, flavorful, and hydrating, and 0 calories. So you can have fun flavored water without any guilt. Consider your hydrated self thriving.
Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart, or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Selling a little... or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/betches.
How do you come back? How do you do that? You are not going to like this answer, dear listener, because how do you find yourself? I have to give the rote answer that feels so fucking dismissive and avoidant, because you find yourself with time and repetition. And that is annoyingly the answer to so many parenting questions. How do I get my toddler to stop biting?
Time and repetition.
How do I get my kids to try new foods? Time and repetition. How do I get my kid potty trained, sleeping in their own bed, tying their own shoes?
Time and repetition. But as you get through all of those things, that is also eventually going to lead to you having time. To go
time
I have free time. What do I do? Should I clean something? Nah, clean when the baby cleans. You got time, baby.
Yeah. Every time your kid achieves a new level of independence, that opens up a spare time. And the repetition comes in by you repeatedly choosing to use some of that time, maybe not all of it, but yeah. some of that time to choose yourself.
Yeah, you should be on your priority list.
Yes. Your baby just started self-feeding, right? It's not clean. They're getting more of it on them than in them. But for a brief period, all you have to do is sit in proximity and call out, good job. Try, use your hand. Just mouth. Okay, that was your nose. That's all you're doing at this point. Immediately after that, it's just supervising. You're not really actively involved in every meal. Now, some meals you absolutely need to eat with them. You need to model. But some lunches, especially when it's their favorite, and they're going to go ham on this piece of ham that you gave them, just pull out your Kindle or read on your phone or turn on an audiobook in one ear pod.
Yeah.
Choose yourself in that brief little window of time. Yeah. That's how you begin to find yourself.
And here's the thing. There is a good chance that the things you find yourself gravitating towards are not the things that you would have prior to having the baby.
Yes.
That's okay.
Yes.
And I think that's a good shift of mindset, is that not to think that we lost these things, but to look at the things we're gaining. And both of those things, again, they exist together. But if we're only focused on the things we feel like we lost, we're not leaving any room for the joy the new things are bringing us. And I don't say that to be toxically positive, but in a way of like, it can help. Right? Like the way we talk to ourselves absolutely influences the way that we feel.
And some things may come back to you. If you were big on art and drawing pre-kids, that may wander back. It may look a little different. You might have had one particular style of art and now all of a sudden you're drawing anime because your kid loves Pokemon.
Yeah.
You're still there though. And yeah, sometimes finding yourself really is, you're still doing stuff for your kids. Yes, you've got the Poscas out. Yes, you've got the liners out. You're drawing in your sketchbook and you're drawing fucking Poliwog, but you're still drawing. Right. You're still doing a thing that old you prepared you for this moment. Old you was not drawing for the sake of drawing. They were drawing so later you could draw Poliwog for your fucking kid.
It's one of my favorite things about parenting that became my favorite really over the last couple of years, because my kids are fully out of diaper phase, toddler phase. Like they are fully children now. We are no longer toddler, preschooler, always needy. I mean, they're still always needy because they're children and they mostly are always needy if I answer a phone call. But when they are at this age, it is so fun because number one, they're going to develop their own interests and they're going to teach you things, and that is going to be cool. But also you get to share the things you like with them. Me and my kids just started a band. I'm the only one who plays an instrument, but it's going well.
It's going great.
I mean, my eldest kid is an amazing artist. I've always loved art. She gives me drawing tutorials because that kid can draw really cool dragons and I can't. And now I'm learning from my kid.
And recently I got to experience two distinct things. First, I rediscovered my passion for reading. And second, I discovered that I do actually enjoy crochet. I thought for the longest time that it wasn't in me. I wasn't a thread crafter, and that was okay. Like, I accepted that. Not all things are for all people. Nope, I was wrong. I was just doing the wrong projects. Yeah. I don't want to make stuffies. I want to make blankets and granny squares.
I am literally crocheting stuffies for my kids. So I am also crocheting a thing I've always enjoyed, and I'm doing it for my kids.
Yeah.
I just made Gudetama, like a weird egg. I love him.
But my kids just got to the point that I can start reading them some of my favorite books. My kids are old enough to hear the stories of Percy Jackson. We're reading Percy Jackson now.
Yeah.
They can't read them for themselves, but they can follow the stories, especially if mom's the one reading them. And when we get to a word they don't know, I can explain it.
Right. Well, and it's fun because it also has challenges. And I think it's important we say that too, because I play, you know, every instrument, and I have my keyboard in my living room, and I'll sit down. I play, you know, every now and then throughout my day, I just sit down and I practice. And one of my kids, mom, can you teach me how to play? I'm not a good teacher. And she wants to be able to do things without accepting help to do them. It's a we're talking about it. We're working on it. Yeah. But it ends up, it's like, I wanted to do this thing for me, but I'm not, because she wants me to help her learn. And so that is how I'm choosing to spend that time. But I can still do that for myself later.
Yes.
And so there are challenges. There are still times where you're, you know, you don't, I mean, you're a parent, you know, your time is not just yours anymore. And some days that's really hard and some days that's fine.
But here's the thing is, this is what we mean when it's okay to mourn the old you. Old you just got to play piano for the hell of it. New you gets to play piano for fun. And also because your kid wants to play with you.
Yeah, right.
You can mourn the life you had and embrace the new one.
Yeah.
And there is a you in that life. You're not just your kid's parent.
It becomes that place of like parallel play with your kid. Like, oh, you want to draw? You want to color? Cool. We're going to put all of our coloring sheets on the coffee table. We're all going to sit down. Mm-hmm. We are together. We are all doing something. But now all of my kids are at an age where if I am coloring a piece of paper, they're going to keep their marker on their page.
On their paper. They're not going to help. Know?
They're not going to say, well, I want to color that exact spot you're coloring. Like, okay, I get like, okay. It changes and it keeps changing. And that's a thing. I mean, we can both say, even though you have a teenager, like your life is going to transform again as she ages and leaves your home.
Yeah.
And with or without kids.
Which in this economy, she'll be about 27 when she can afford to do that. But yeah, go ahead.
It's one of those things where as you are going through this process, even if you didn't have kids, you would still continue to transform and change.
Yeah.
30-year-olds without children can still look back at the 20-something-year-old that went out and partied and go, it's 9 o'clock. I'm just going to stay in and read a book, right? Like, we are always going to change.
How did I do that before?
Yeah. Why did I do that? I don't understand. Like, what?
What was I getting out of that?
Oh,
I never, like, woke up happy after those days. Why was I drinking 4 Loko?
Ugh. Oh, my God. But
there's somebody listening to the podcast, like, currently staring at their 4 Loko going, what the fuck is wrong with this?
Just imagine like that's how you spend in your Saturday night, getting wild, drinking 4 Loko, listening to Child Proof. as one does.
Being a parent does add a layer to you, but it doesn't come at the cost of you. For the first couple years, you might be on pause. All you might have in you is just keeping everyone who started the day alive, being alive at the end of the day. That's a successful day. That like was you all might, you had in you that day.
You might get really well versed in every popular TV show. I watched so much TV in those early years. I don't watch TV. Anyone who knows, I don't watch anything. But I did. And it was so like that was what got me through. You know, as they say, cherish every moment because they're all great. As you can clearly tell by this entire episode, we feel that every moment is totally great and you shouldn't feel anything bad about it. I'm lying. It's hard and it's okay to say it's hard and it's okay to feel like it's never going to end because it is and you're going to be okay and you're still going to be you. It's just you in some extra and it's great. It can be great. You're going to be good.
It's worth it. You're okay and you're doing a good job. Do not argue with the podcast. You are doing a good job.
Doing great.
That's our timer. How convenient that it ended on the high note. What? So weird. Thanks so much for listening to Child Proof. We love to hear your best moments of finding yourself. What's the thing you did when you had an opportunity to be you instead of just so-and-so's mom? Email us at childproof@betches.com.
And be sure to give us a follow. I am Tori Phantom in all the places. She is Mama Cusses.
Please, 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 please pre-order my book anywhere you buy your favorite titles. It's Mama Cusses, a field guide to responsive parenting and trying not to be the reason your kids need therapy.
TikTok sensation Gwenna Lathland.
Actually, I just found out I'm therapist recommended. There are several accredited doctoral holding therapists that recommend me.
I bet they recommend your TikTok too. Because you're a sensation. It's a great book. Pre-order it. I've read it. It's great. But tune in every Wednesday, everywhere you listen to your favorite podcast. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And leave us a rating. It helps.
And remember, sometimes our kids are assholes.
And sometimes it's us.
Child Proof is produced by Rebecca Sals-McCow and Sean Kilby. Editing by Shannon Sassone. Social media by Lauren Salome.
guest booking by Ali Friedlander. Be sure to follow us at Betches Moms on Instagram and send us your email at childproof@betches.com.
Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy, perfectly blending refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories.
Available in 5 craveable flavors, there's a flavor for everyone to enjoy. My favorite flavor is the lemon.
The mandarin orange is my favorite flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.